Okay, back to Matthew chapter 13. There's eight parables that's found in this 13th chapter, and we've looked at the first six, and today we want to look at the last two parables here given in Matthew 13, verse 47 down through verse 50, and then in verse 52 is the last parable. So we have these two parables. One, the first one, called the parable of the gospel net that's cast out into the sea. And then the parable of the householder that brings out and brings forth treasure. Notice it's singular, treasure. But it says there, and the word things has been added, but treasure new and treasure old. But it's all his treasure. Old things newly revealed in Christ Jesus. So we'll look at these two parables here. And then in the center of these two parables, the Lord asked that question in verse 51. Have you understood all these things? Have you understood these things? And they, I don't know, but maybe with some presumption, because I'll show you later on where the Lord asked them, do you understand these things? And they really didn't. But maybe with some presumption when he said, have you understood all these things? And they said, yep, we got it. Did they really? I'm sure they understood the aspect about casting a net because they were fishermen. James and John, Peter and Andrew, when the Lord called them, they were fishing. They were cleaning their nets. So they certainly understood that aspect of it. But remember in other parables in this chapter when the Lord gave that parable of the wheat and the tares, and the disciples came to the Lord and said, will you teach us what that means? So it's an ongoing process, isn't it? We are learning of the blessings we have revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at that first parable, Matthew 13, 47. And again, that's a good word right there, isn't it? The Lord teaches us again and again and again. You know why? Because we need to be taught. Again, the kingdom of heaven, and that is the kingdom of God, that is the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. This kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea, and it gathered. This net gathers, and it gathers of every kind, which when it was full, they drew this net to the shore. And then these wise fishermen, they would go through that net, and they would pick out the fish that they were fishing for, and they would put them in a good vessel. And then those other fish that just kind of got caught up, they discard them. And then the Lord says, verse 49, so shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. The wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing, and there shall be gnashing of teeth. They're talking about eternal torment, eternal condemnation. Now, what is the lesson for us here today? The gospel of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God's grace, is likened to this large, vast fishing net. The gospel is a net designed by God and is ordained by God as the means to gather out his elect. We are called oftentimes sheep, right? Here he calls it the elect, the good fish. The good fish. We go forth as preachers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, casting this net. We go forth preaching Christ and him crucified, accomplishing all of our salvation. And we do so because God has commanded us to go and preach the gospel. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to call out his people. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God, the word of truth. We preach salvation by the sovereign grace of God, by the Lord Jesus Christ, his faithful obedience unto the holy law of God, whereby he established for us and brought in for us everlasting righteousness. Remember chapter 5 in Matthew, he said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. He came to honor the law of God for us, for God and for us. And he did. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord Jesus Christ is made wisdom, righteousness, redemption, and our sanctification. So we go preaching salvation by the total sovereign grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. We go preaching the gospel message about the Lord Jesus Christ, his successful atonement, putting away the sin of God's people. It's not an attempt. The Lord Jesus Christ did not die to make salvation a possibility. The Lord Jesus died for a definite people and made complete atonement only for God's elect, only for his church. He loved the church and gave himself for it. He obtained for us eternal redemption with his own blood. So we go forth preaching this gospel message, just casting this net, because the Lord commanded us to do so. When Paul in prison writes his last words to young Timothy before he's executed for the gospel, he said, I charge you before God, preach the word. Preach Christ and him crucified. And then the risen Lord, before he ascended to the Father, having accomplished all of salvation, he told those disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, everyone, indiscriminately, without prejudice. Go and preach the gospel everywhere. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we cast out the message of the gospel into the sea of this world. The sea of this world is full of sinners. And the Lord, through the preaching of that gospel, he draws sinners unto himself. He draws and he gathers his elect unto himself. That's why Paul said, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. For in that gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew or to the Gentile. His sheep will hear his voice. His sheep will follow him. His fish will swim, if you will, after him, because they're drawn in this net. They're drawn in this net of love. They're drawn in this net of mercy. His sheep hear his voice and they follow him. This gospel net gathers all kinds of sinners, some young, some not so young, some old. It gathers Jew or Gentile. It gathers black or white. It gathers Jew or Gentile, some educated, some not so educated. Some it draws who are very self-righteous, for example, Saul of Tarsus, and some who were outwardly most ungodly, guilty, and vile, like that thief upon the cross. You see, salvation's for sinners. This gospel net that is thrown out, controlled by the sovereign mercy of God, by the sovereign love of God, and he draws sinners unto himself. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save folks just like you. Sinners. Sinners. Paul said, I'm the chief one. Remember in Matthew chapter 9, he said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners, sinners to repentance. Some, by this gospel net, God's elect, are caught up. They're caught by. They're captive, held captive to the Lord Jesus Christ with the gospel and given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to truly believe, and they're made new creatures in Christ. So those are drawn irresistibly unto the Lord Jesus Christ, while others are simply just drawn into the visible church. They're not really made one with Christ. There's no real vital union with the Lord Jesus Christ. But like the parable of the tares and the wheat, the Lord will distinguish in the end the tares from the wheat. You remember those servants said, Lord, we'll just go out and we'll just pull up all them tares. out of your wheat field. He said, no, that's my business. You just let them grow, and in the end, I will separate the wheat from the tares, and I'll gather my wheat into my barn. So, that's the blessing of the gospel, is it not? To be one with Christ. Look at verse 48 and 49. When it was full, they drew to the shore, and they sat down, these fishermen, they drew in this net that they had cast out, and they gathered the good into vessels, containers, but the bad they cast out. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. So those who are justified, it says here there's good and bad. It says here there's wicked and just. You see those two things? There's the good and the bad, and then there's the wicked and the just. Those who are justified in Christ, made good by His grace, will be gathered into everlasting glory, everlasting heaven, to be with the Lord forever. And the wicked, the bad, those without Christ will be cast away into everlasting destruction. Now, does the Lord have the right to make a distinction? Absolutely, He does. Now, we know this. No one is just and good in themselves, right? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're none of us, by nature, righteous. All of us, by nature, are wicked and bad. That's what we are. We know we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's the grace of God that's made us to differ. The grace of God. Sinners are only made just and good in Christ, being justified by His grace, cleansed by His blood through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only by the God of all grace who called us into His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, settle you, to whom be glory forever, forever. Amen. It's only the grace of God that made us to differ. It's the grace of God that has drawn us with that gospel net to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now, look at verse 50. And in the end, so shall it be in the end of the world, verse 49, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Now, we've seen this before when He gave the explanation of the parable of the wheat and the tares. If you would look right across the page in Matthew 13, verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. There will be in the end, and I underscore that word in verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world. There's coming an end to this world. The Lord is coming back. There will be an end to this world and a full and final total separation of the wicked from among the just. Now let's look at a couple of scriptures here. First of all, turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 14. Matthew 24, verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom, this net of the kingdom, Matthew 24, 14, shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. The end's coming. The end is coming. If you look over here in Matthew 25, turn over there, Matthew 25, verse 31, the Lord is coming back and he will make a separation. Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now look down at verse 41. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, the goats, the bad fish, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Again in this same chapter, look at verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. There's going to be a day in the end where there will be a judgment and there will be a separation. A separation. That's why I read over here, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. There is going to be an eternal glorification of God's saints, his elect, and there is going to be an eternal separation and eternal condemnation. Now, judgment and separation is only done by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not our business. That's God's business. It's our responsibility as God's church to preach the gospel. The results is left to him. And all judgment has been committed unto the Son. The Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. The Apostle Paul preached this on Mars Hill to those intellectual Greeks. God commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, the Lord Jesus, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he raised him from the dead. There is eternal glory and there is eternal condemnation. Now, look at this question right in the middle, verse 51. The Lord Jesus Christ said to them, now this is the Lord who knows their heart, who knows their thoughts. He knew exactly where they stood. But yet, to draw this out, the Lord never asked a question for information. But to make them know where they stand before God, have you understood all these things? And they said unto him, and I can think, can't you just imagine Peter? Peter usually the one who spoke up first. Can't you just imagine Peter said, yep, we got it. Yep, we understand all things. But did they really? Did they really? Certainly they understood the part about fishing and nets. For the most part of them were fishermen. James and John, when the Lord called them, they were cleaning their net. And I take them at their word, what the Lord was teaching them about the necessity of preaching the gospel in this world, and the gospel making a distinction between the saved and the lost. But to say that they understood all things about the Lord's person, about the Lord's mediatorial work, wouldn't that be an understatement? Now, I can make good on that, because look at chapter 15. Look at chapter 15. You remember the Pharisees were all upset because the disciples didn't wash their hands. Matthew 15 and verse 10, he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, it's not that which goes into the mouth that defiles, but that which comes out of the mouth, out of the heart. This defiles a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou not that the Pharisees were offended? And he answered and said to them, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. And Peter answered and said, declare unto us this parable. And the Lord said to them, are ye without understanding? Well, Peter, I thought you understood all things. Do you not understand that whatsoever enter into the mouth goes into the belly and out through the sewer? But those things which proceed from the heart, out of the mouth, come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These things are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashing hands, that's not our problem. It's what comes out of the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now, I don't want to be too hard on them, but I'm going to be hard on me. At best, we say with Paul, we see through a glass darkly, we know in part, and we preach in part. We've been given an understanding of the gospel of Christ only because it's been revealed unto us, and we've been taught by the Lord. We know the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. We're in Him that is true. This is a true God and eternal life. But I would never say, and I trust you wouldn't either, but I never would say I understand all things revealed in the Word of God. They're great deep mysteries. And we read them and we believe them. By faith we receive them. But to say that we understand everything perfectly, no, we don't. We see in part, we know in part. But here's the key. We know Him. That's the key. We know Him whom to know is eternal life. We are found in Him. Saving faith is always coming to Him, looking to Him, resting and relying upon Him. The Apostle Paul put it this way. I've suffered the loss of all things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Now notice that. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I have believed. Now, what you believe, now listen to this. What you believe is determined by who you believe. If you believe the God of Scripture, you believe all things written in the Word of God. But to say that we understand all the deep mysteries of God, we know in part, we preach in part, but the key is we know Him whom to know is eternal life. Now, in the last parable, verse 52, He said unto them, therefore, every scribe, and he's talking about the preaching of the gospel, he's talking about those apostles that were sent of God, those who were instructed of God, who have been given understanding from God, in understanding and instructed in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of the gospel, is likened to a man that is a householder. Someone who is over the house, which brings forth out of his treasure new and old. Notice that word things has been supplied. We'll just leave it out. He brings forth out of his treasure new and old. It's just one treasure. One treasure. Now, again, the Lord teaches us the importance of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say with the Apostle Paul, I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We preach Christ crucified, accomplishing all of our salvation and establishing a righteousness justifying us before God through Christ and Him crucified. Every ready scribe, that is every gospel preacher, has been instructed by the Lord and sent by the Lord to instruct others about the way of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, from the only one safe source. What is that one safe source? The Word of God. The Word of God, the Word of truth. So like the householder, gospel ministers preside, they watch over, they feed the church of God, they feed them from the Word of truth. We're going to study this in Hebrews 13, Lord willing, in a few weeks, where it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, that is, those who are pastors and teachers of the gospel, ministers of the gospel, for they watch for your soul, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. So I watch for your soul. I want you to believe the truth, hear the truth, and love the truth, and persevere in the faith. I'm not going to lord over you. I'm going to preach the gospel to you. I'm going to feed you the word of God. And the Lord will take care of that. But it's my responsibility to declare the gospel of God. When Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, never to see the elders at Ephesus again, and when he called them unto him, he declared unto them all the counsel of God, and he said to those elders, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Gospel ministers are those who are taught of God. Gospel preaching is repeating what God's already said. Gospel preaching is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. Gospel ministers, those who are taught of God, who've been given the understanding of the gospel, who are sent of God, bring forth the treasures of the gospel from the word of God, things that are new and things that are old. You remember the word of God down in verse 44. You remember, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in the field. What did I tell you that treasure hid in the field was? The word of God. The word of God gives one message. Christ is everything in salvation. So that treasure hid in the field. Now we bring out things new and things old. Now one old preacher of the past said this, referring to doctrine. He said, if it's new doctrine, it's not true. And if it's true doctrine, then it's not new. It's as old as God. So we don't go searching for some new revelation. We preach the old revelation that's made new every day, revealed to us in Christ. We preach the old story that's ever new. Gospel ministers have a vast storehouse of treasure revealed in the Word of God, which contain many old eternal truths, don't they? Eternal truth as old as God, but they're ever made new to our weary heart. You see, the gospel of God is older than creation. The gospel of God is as old as God. The Lord Jesus Christ is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now that's old, isn't it? But isn't it just new and fresh to us as it's revealed in the preaching of the word? We bring out things each week. You know, I preach the same thing every week. I try to. The same thing every week. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is in Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of God is as old as God, but it's ever new. It's refreshing. It's wholesome to our soul and to the household of God. We're preaching the gospel to the household of God. Now I'm going to close by reading this. In Ephesians chapter 2. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and are of the household of God. We've been made sons of God by His eternal grace. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What's the foundation of the apostles and prophets? Well, it tells us Jesus Christ Himself. To Him give all the prophets witness. Jesus Christ Himself is the chief cornerstone in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit of God. So every scribe which is instructed, we've been given the message, preach Christ, Christ crucified as all of our salvation, having accomplished and secured, not attempted, but secured and finished the work of redemption for us. And we preach that message. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. It's as old as God, but it's new and fresh. You remember that scripture in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, where it says his mercies are new every morning? It's new every morning. It's the old story, but it's ever new, isn't it?